Rupert Russell, who is a lecturer in ICT at Ballarat University, and a former colleague of mine for 4 years and a very good friend, who used to help me out with all my technology problems. So a very valuable person indeed. Rupert's actually just got a promotion as the senior educator of e-learning in the TAFE division at Ballarat University. And he's come to talk to you today about ICT and how you can use that in your teaching. Thank you, Rupert.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. Okay, now, I'm going to be wandering back and forth, so I'll probably come in and out of the range of this mic. I assume you can all hear me happily at the moment. If I come over here, are you still comfortable? Yeah, okay, good. All right. Now, I've brought with me some toys. I like to travel with toys. And one of them is floating around the lecture theatre at the moment, which is responsible for this. And it's a radio transmitting tablet, and it's connected up to this computer here through a little Bluetooth transmitter receiver. No, have a play, have a play. Everybody should get to have a bit of a play. On the tablet, actually what I'll do, I'll just grab the tablet. I'll give it back to you, sorry. This is the tablet. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing this is I haven't played with a document camera before. We don't have them where I come from. So I'm really just playing with a new toy. But it's a good excuse to play with a toy. Now, here's the tablet. It uses a stylus. The stylus, the tablet detects the presence of the stylus even before you touch the tablet. So as you approach the tablet, the stylus will start to send signals back to the tablet, and the cursor on your computer screen will start to move. Here we have black pen, blue pen, red, green, rubber, and a pointer. Now the pointer you probably won't need to use, but you can grab a pen and let me show you. So you all got that, did you? Now, back to the computer and back to the tablet. Now, having shown you how that works, and I'll just bring up the house lights if I can figure out where to do that. We want full lights. Okay, there we go. So now we should be able, yes, good. Now that's the pointer.
How do you erase it?
The eraser symbol, it's the second one from the top. Try that. Hopefully it works. Just try erasing. There you go. You've got to make contact with, you've got to actually press the stylus on the board. And there we go. Now I'll tell you a trick. If you want to rub out the word welcome, you can draw a circle with the eraser all the way around the word, all the way or outside, all the way, close up the circle, come back to where you started, and now click in the middle of the circle. It's tricky. Let me demonstrate on this board here. Okay. Now, this device here uses the same software. Normally it has pens, but I've gone and left the pens in another pocket. So I'm going to just write it completely from my finger. Now, unlike a conventional whiteboard marker, my finger never runs out of ink. Now, I'm going to grab the eraser tool and I'm going to draw a circle around the object that I want to erase, making sure that I come back more or less to the starting point. And now I'm going to tap in the middle. And, of course, it didn't work. Let me try that again. There you go. Okay. All right, so it takes a little bit of practice. It takes a little bit of skill in making sure that when you're drawing things that you do it the way you want. We can do some other stuff with this. if I grab a pen and I write, what am I going to write? Welcome. Okay, a little bit of care over what I've written. Not sure what that first stroke's going to do. I'm going to try something that might confuse things. I'm going to rub out that. I'm now going to select this word. Now, having selected the word, I can move it. I can resize it. I can recolour it. Green's pretty awful. I'll make it dark blue. And I can do this. Ah. Isn't that good? All those people who are a bit worried about their handwriting need never worry again. No, that's not true. You actually do need to take a bit of care with the way you write, otherwise the board won't recognise your letters properly. So, having done that though, we can do this. Resize. Rotate. Woo! Isn't that fun? Lots of fun to be had. Now, I have pre-prepared one in advance. Whoops, I'm tripping on this thing. I've got to be careful. Don't save that. File. Now, I'm running a Windows application here. This is a specific program for this software, for this board, but it could be any Windows application. I'm using the menus, I'm using the mouse, my finger is a mouse. So I'm going File, Open, as you would in any Windows program. This one, well, I just want to make sure I get the right one because I've got a few different versions floating around. Which is not, I'll go to the hard drive. I think this is the most recent version. Okay, now, this is a lecture that I'm going to give, hopefully, when it fires up. If it fires up. And I've prepared this in advance and saved it. So it's a file that I've created that I'm going to show to you now. Similar to PowerPoint in that it's got pages and I can select the separate pages once they're all loaded, as you would in the slide sorter of PowerPoint. Do you know what I'm talking about? Does anybody not use PowerPoint and don't understand what the slide sorter is? You're all familiar with it? Okay, same sort of concept. Make sure the tablet gets passed around. Okay. All right. Okay, a couple of screens to watch at once, but we'll get used to that. Okay, now, who am I? I work currently at the School of Education, but as was mentioned earlier, I'm moving on to TAFE development. So I'm going to be making online learning applications. And so I'm from the University of Ballarat, but soon to be the TAFE. Playing with interactive whiteboards, touch-sensitive screens. This is my web page. The screen software lets you capture any image you like, and we can write over the top of it and annotate it. So if I wanted to point out to you that I have on my web page, this being the address of my web page, that I have a page here labelled IBW, Interactive Whiteboards. That IBW page is a link for you, if you want to use it, to get more reference material on these boards. Lots of stuff there. Okay, now, the tablet floating around. Whoops, didn't want to draw. Enables remote interactivity, okay? And hopefully many of you will get a chance to have a quick play with it. We can use a range of pre-built tools. Can you all see that? Are you able to see that from down there? Good. Okay, so if we want to, you know, draw an angle and then measure it, we have some tools, we have rulers, we have protractors, we have set squares and all sorts of stuff that we can use from a gallery of products that come with the software. And they include maps and they include, there's some rather dodgy maps, actually. I prefer. Australia looks a bit wonky on some of them. But we've got some maps and we've got that sort of stuff we can pull out and use. Okay. We've got interactive tools. We've got tools that we can... This is a Flash application, so I can spin the dice just by clicking on it. Okay. We have third-party tools. We have software manufactured by lots of other companies for use with whiteboards, and here's a reference to it. Now, it's a little bit small on your notes, but you should be able to read the address, hopefully, yes. So that's there, you don't have to write these things down. Now, one of the nice things about this software is that, let's say I wanted to point out something, or I wanted to make an annotation to this, and I wanted to say, don't forget COMAU, or whatever it was. At the end of the class, at the end of the lecture, at the end of the whatever you're doing, you can save these changes. You can take this file, you can put it on the web, you can turn it into a PDF document, which is an Adobe Acrobat file, which you would have probably used on the web even if you're not familiar with the terminology. You can print it, you can save it, you can bring it back next week and use it again. And say, remember last week when I reminded you that it was Australia? Well, how many people forgot that it was COMAU and just went to .com? So you can bring stuff back and refer back to it in your teaching. And I'll just show you a couple of other interactive tools. Whoops, I'm drawing with a pen. Here we have a spinner. I'm going to add some wedges to it. And I'm going to spin it. What's the chance of it hitting yellow? Not very high. Okay. All right, another spinner. There's another spinner. This one lets you... slide this arrow and it says less likely, more likely. So you can make a prediction of how likely it is to hit the yellow. And so it's a similar idea, but it's just got an extra feature. Where she stops, no one knows. Oh, not quite. Okay. Other things we can do, we've got software that lets us easily draw graphs and things like that. Lots of companies make products for this stuff. Okay, now, how can you use one of these things if you're teaching art? Well, you can draw pickies. Okay, you can interact with applications on the web. If you're into art, I would strongly recommend that you have a look at this site. Kids Zone, this one here. I'm going to make it big. Whoops, if I stretch it out. See this site here? Go and have a look at this. It's fun. Really, really great site. That one there. See? This side, this screen. Now, okay, have a look at that website. Really fun. Well worth a look. Okay? Now, next. One of the other products on that site. If you're teaching art, there are massive numbers of art resources on the web. It's so easy to bring material into your class and have it immediately available at your fingertips. Now, this is quite a famous picture. It's a whole lot of people playing different games. And they're not just children, they're also adults. And it's a massive number of different games that were played in medieval times. Quite a few of them we still recognise. Some have gone out of fashion. But if I wanted to point out to you one of these games in particular, I might say, what do you think they're doing here? And you might go, I can't really see. But it gives me the ability to interact and highlight material and work with it on the screen. Draw attention to this little person down here. What is that person doing? That sort of thing. Okay. Now, at the end of this lesson, I could choose to keep those annotations on here. All right. Other things you can do with art and technology, because we're not just talking about whiteboards, we're talking about technology stuff in general. There's quite an interesting film that uses a process called rotoscoping extensively, and it's called Waking Life. And there's the website. Let's go back to my pointer. It's fighting me. There we go. That site there. Interesting movie. interesting technique. It's called rotoscoping. There's clips on the web and stuff. You can go and have a look at that if you're interested. Here's an image of me, an animated GIF that I created. And if you watch, there you go. Okay. All right, now. By the way, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, just stick your hand up. Feel free. Now, as an art teacher, many of the things you do have lots of steps. There's a lot of process involved in producing something like handmade paper. You can easily create yourself a PowerPoint presentation or whatever that documents the process. Digital cameras will be used extensively in classrooms, are used today by many teachers extensively in the classroom. If you're doing something, if the kids are doing something, take a photograph. Record it. We'll see what this does. Might start the PowerPoint up. Doesn't really matter if it doesn't. There it is. Now, remember in the old days, if you've shown PowerPoint presentations, you have to go back to the mouse and press the mouse or click the space bar or whatever. Don't have to do that anymore. I can turn the slide here on the screen. Okay, so here's the process of making paper documented. And we have, pulp it up and do this and that. And at the end of the day, you end up with some recycled paper. Okay. So, documenting process, good example of using technology in a classroom. We can do things like this. We'll see how this works. Okay, there you are, immortalised. Now, I'm just going to take control of this for 1 second. I might actually need the tablet. Who's got the tablet? Can I just borrow it for a sec? And I need the pen. Oops, I need the pen as well. Thank you. Okay, now, I've just taken a photograph. I'm going to plug in a little card reader and hope that it works, because I didn't set it up before the lecture, but I should have. Whoops. Okay, USB device, I'm just plugging it in. Card comes out of the camera. Into the card reader. Looks good. I don't know why it's popping in and out. Now, I wanted that. Open the folder. Okay, tools. Okay, here you are. Copy, okay. Now, edit. I should use a mouse. I'm just. Edit, paste. Okay, there we go. Aha! Was it worth waiting for? Because I've always wanted green hair. Where are we? Green. No, you can't do it to me. Is it going to work? Yeah, sort of. There we go. A little bit of green. No, you can get the rubber and you can erase it. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. So, digital cameras. Why else might you want to take a photograph in a classroom? Apart from giving people green hair. As teachers, yes, yeah? Good. So you might want to be able to show them, you might want to be able to bring, put an image on the screen if you've got a projector. You might want to take a photograph of an experiment so that you can refer to it next week without having to set it up again. So you can refresh people's memories about the product and the process. Very good. Other reasons? There's lots and lots of reasons why you might want to take a photograph in a classroom. We have the technology. It will actually get easier to do. I had to fiddle around taking the card from the camera and stick it in the card reader and download the file. They have now on the market, just released, the very first Bluetooth camera. Little digital camera, Bluetooth transmitter, just like this tablet, talks to your computer. You go snap, take a photograph of a kid in the classroom. Immediately, it's on your notebook computer. Don't have to worry about transferring cards and things anymore. Okay. So the technology is there and it will get easier and easier to use. So as a teacher or children within your classroom, you hand them the camera and they're going to take some photographs. What are you going to do with them? Why would you take a photograph? What? To assess them, yes. Absolutely, you can create animations. Yep, I've got some examples of these somewhere. Yes, you can do that. Other examples? Other reasons? Why else might you take a digital photograph? Yeah? Okay, sure. You might use it to prove authenticity of something. Okay, digital portfolios, what are they? It's a portfolio of student work in a digital format, okay, quite often just made as a PowerPoint presentation. So when children are making things, if they do a particularly good example of something, particularly if it's something that's volatile, you know, like somebody makes something out of plasticine and you know you can't keep it there all year, or you want to take a photograph so the kid can take it home and show their parents. Or you can refer back to it. Or they can write a reflective, a recount of the creation of this wonderful piece of art or whatever it might be. You might have a display on your classroom wall that you want to document. Why, as a teacher, might you want to document what the display on your wall looks like? There's a very good reason you'd want to do it. At the end of the first 12 months of teaching, you have to prove, you have to get a stamp of basically approval that you were an adequate teacher in that 12 months. Otherwise, you don't get to teach the following 12 months. So you need to keep records of your progress and what you're doing and how you're teaching and what the kids are doing. And part of that can be done using digital cameras, yes? Okay, simple technology, lots of users. Okay, there's other things you can do with them as well. I mean, if you go on an excursion, take a camera. If you go, you know, if you're going out in the playground and you want to talk about, you know, redesigning a better play equipment, and the kids are doing a design, unit, take a photograph of what's out there, bring it back in, and talk about it. That sort of stuff. Okay. All right. Now, music. We can bring music into the classroom. We can bring sound into the classroom. I'm not actually sure that the audio is going to kick in, but we have, see if it works, the ability to bring in, there we go. Okay. What happened as soon as I played that? You woke up. All right. Now, we can use sound in other ways. Okay, so here's a piece of sheet music that I have. Where are we? Page sorter. Okay, you might be teaching piano. You might be teaching some, you know, serious sort of music stuff. And you might then want to say, well, this is what it's written down like, and this is what it sounds like. Let's see if this works. Okay, and so on and so forth. You get the idea. Okay. So we can bring music, sounds, into the classroom.
Karaoke.
Okay. All right. Now, let's say I wanted to explain to you the difference between a cyclonic and an anticyclonic wind. And I wanted to tell you that high-pressure systems, in a high-pressure system, the wind travels, let me get a nice big fat line, in this direction, around the high-pressure system. Low-pressure system, other way round. Wind goes the other way. Okay? Cyclonic and anticyclonic winds. Hence the term cyclone. Okay? Now, all very well, nice to be able to illustrate it and draw on the board, but how about this? Does this, whoops, I'll stop drawing. I made a mistake, I can undo it. What I'm going to do, I'll drag that up here, move that around, make it a bit bigger. Whoa, distorted it a bit, but you get the idea. Okay. More powerful than the still image, more powerful... whoa, someone's having problems here. Do you want me to get rid of it? Is that working or not? Try it now. There you go, back in business. Okay. All right, animations can be a useful tool for illustrating concepts. Okay, now, got a little bit of time to show you a really nice thing. I'm actually going to take control. I'm going to turn the tablet off now because I need to use this computer here. So, okay. How many of you have come across this, Google Earth? Who's not heard of it? You're in for a treat. Okay.
An extra
Goggle. Oh, did I spell it wrong?
Yeah. All that technology.
Sorry, all that technology and I still can't spell. Isn't it terrible? Okay. Virtual keyboard. No, wrong thing. I didn't want to do that. I pressed two buttons when I meant one. This is calibrating the screen to the image. Now, I want an extra O. Keyboard overlay. Voila. Yes, no, thinking about it. Here it comes. With an O. And send and enter. Google Earth. There we go. All right, thank you. Good, much better. Okay, now, when you start Google Earth, and I've got a copy of Google Earth on the CD. You can download it off the web. If you just do a Google search for Google Earth, you'll find it very quickly and easily. When it starts up, it starts like that. And we all know that America is the centre of the universe. So, of course it starts with America. But we might want to look at somewhere else on the Earth. We might want to have a look at Australia. Let's zoom in. Woo! Okay. We might want to look down at Victoria, and we'll just wait for that to zoom in a bit. Let's zoom right in. Now, yesterday people said, where are the clouds? Well, how does it work? They've taken thousands, maybe tens of thousands of satellite photographs, and they've made this enormous composite image of the Earth. They took the ones without clouds, predominantly, and they took the ones during the day. Okay? So this Earth is a little bit false, in that it doesn't look very cloudy. So be aware that it is subtly giving you some messages, and one of them might be that there's no clouds in the world. Okay. All right. We can zoom in and in and in. And in certain areas where that resolution is quite high, we can zoom in quite a long way. Now, let's have a look. Let's wait for it to catch up with me. We can't quite see people. We can certainly see buses and cars and trucks and stuff. Okay. Now, this is commercially available to the public, these images. Okay. Imagine what the military can do. A lot more. Easily read your number plates. That sort of stuff. Okay. Now, let's say we wanted to go to Brazil. Off we go. Rather quick flight. Let's zoom in on Brazil. Let's see what the Brazilians are up to. What are they up to? Well, where do they live? In the middle of a whole lot of green stuff. But what do we see happening? What's happening? Deforestation. I'll go to the next slide, it's easier. There we go. What have we got happening here? Patches in the green, where things are being chopped down and turned into farms. Okay? Because they need somewhere to go away. Why is it doing that? We'll ignore that. Okay. The Brazilians need to eat, like all of us. They need somewhere to live. They need fuel. They need to plant crops and sell them and make money so they can buy clothes. And that's what they're doing. They're moving into the forest and using the forest resources, chopping down the trees and growing their crops. The problem is the soil is very thin and not very fertile. Once you do that, you get a good crop the first year, the second year is not so good, the third year you might as well move on, and that's what they do. Find a new bit of forest, chop it down, burn it, and plant new crops. There's a lot of forest, but it won't last forever. Okay? Now, what have I got here? I've got a quote. The other day, I was listening to the science show, thinking about making this lecture, and along came this guy on the science show, Professor Jared Diamond, and he was talking about, now this isn't in your notes, but he was talking about societies that have self-destructed. Easter Island. What happened on Easter Island? There's lots of big statues and there's not a lot of trees. In fact, there are no trees anymore. Because they were all chopped down and used for moving statues, building canoes, camping, cooking, fires, all the things, making houses, all the stuff that people used timber for today. Okay? But around 1600, the last tree on Easter Island was chopped down. And when that happened, the natives who lived there, the Polynesians, couldn't go out to sea once their last canoe rotted, and fish for sharks and turtles and dugong and or whatever it is. I don't think it's dugong. Turtles. And dolphins and stuff that they ate. The large mammals in their diet, the ocean-going mammals in their diet, weren't available to them anymore because they didn't have canoes. So they turned to the next large mammals that were available to them, who were other people. That's all there was to eat as far as protein sources went. Okay, the whole island collapsed. Everybody basically ended up eating everybody else and the whole thing just wound down into nothingness. Okay. Now, that's what happened on Easter Island when they didn't look after their resources. Jared Diamond, now let me see. Here we have a reason for using audio. I hope I have extract. Here we go. Extract. I think this is the right one. Should have named it better. Oh, I turned the volume down. Can't really hear it well enough. Okay, basically he's talking about the difference between Haiti and the Dominican Republic.
Yes, it's one third world country, but
Dominican Republic is not yet fully deforested. In fact, it won't be. They've got lots of national parks. Haiti, same island, different economic and political decisions, 90% deforested. Not a very good place to live. Okay, what's happening there? Because of the choices that these people have made, what's this? Life expectancy at birth. If you're born in Haiti, you can expect to live 52 years, roughly, 53 years. If you're born in Dominican Republic, across the border, 67 years. If you're born in Australia, 80 years. Infant mortality rates, similar sort of thing. Deaths of infants within the first year of birth. For every 1,000 infants born in Haiti, 73 will die. It's almost like a war zone. Dominican Republic, 32. Australia, only about 4. 4 or 5, okay. You don't want to live in a country that's choosing to chop down all its trees. Because it's only a short-term solution to anything. Eventually you run out. Here's another place. Lots of nice green, but what do we see? We see some red scars on the landscape. Okay? That's where the trees have been cut down completely. The ground is now bare. There is no vegetation there at all. Clear felling. Now, I'm zooming in. No, sorry, I'm zooming out. Same piece of land, same cloud, see the big cloud there? Same big cloud, same piece of red spot. Now, I can see another red spot here. I can see one there. I can see one up here. I can see at that scale, there's a bit there and there's a bit here. Popping up, red spots. Earth being exposed. Where? Not so far from home. Not so far from home, folks. Is all this stuff happening as well? It's not just the Brazilians that do it. We're doing it too. In fact, we're doing it even worse. We're taking it right down to the bare earth. Okay. Now, I was going to play you the quote, but unfortunately, the PA system is defeating me a little bit. And I can do it, but you don't hear it very loud. Okay. Now,
he is a professor of nearly everything but mainly physiology and geography.
Okay, I mean, we're not. Okay, now, how did I bring that audio to you? I was listening to the science show and I thought, now there's something I can talk about. Good link to Google Earth, good use of the technology. We can demonstrate it in the class. I can show you Brazil. We can zoom in and look at the clear felling. And I thought, well, what is this island that he's talking about? Let's go and look it up. So I went to the CIA World Factbook and I got the facts. I found out the infant mortality rates in Dominican Republic and Haiti. I found out in Australia for comparison. How did I make that graph? Excel. Simple use of technology. Very easy program to use. Not hard to make graphs in it. Okay. Make the graph, bring it in, show you. Okay. Talk about it. Linking the technology. Using the internet to find out the facts and figures. Okay. Make the graph, bring it in. Use Google Earth. Show you the picture. You can actually see the difference. You can see that one side's got trees and one side hasn't. Okay. Linking the technology. This is how the technology can be used. You've got a question, what's the population of whatever? You can find it out. Google will let you do searches. We have massive amounts of information available to us. It's up to you as teachers to take that information and turn it into knowledge. Because information on its own is not really worth much. It's up to you to do something with it, to interpret it, to assist people to understand it, to point out the salient facts, to filter it, and to teach your students how to do that as well. It's no good just saying, I'll just go and look it up on the web. Just because it's on the web might not be true. Okay? You need to teach your students to be discerning, discriminating users of this information that's around them everywhere. Okay? That's part of your job. In fact, it's probably one of the most important parts of your job. Critical thinking skills are very important. More and more so. The more information that's out there, the more critical we have to be about interpreting it. Okay. Now, the audio could have been a bit louder. The last one worked all right, yes? So. Okay. I mean, that's because I haven't been in this lecture theatre before and, you know, worked better next door yesterday. Okay. Now, the audio. How did I get that audio? Anyone know? That's it? Sorry, yours? Yeah, I used a program. I used a different program, a thing called iPodder. iPodder retrieves podcasts. Who knows what a podcast is? One person, two people? Podcasts. It's a new sort of technology. Who listens to Triple J? Who listens to Hack? Not many. Okay. Well, you can podcast Triple J. You can get Hack. You can get lots and lots of content delivered to your computer as MP3 files. Who's got an MP3 player? Not so many. Interesting. Okay. Well, you can download these things as MP3 files. You can listen to them on the bus, on the tram. You can turn them into audio CDs. You can extract them and bring them into your classes and use them to teach with. Okay. That's how you can use the technology. These are some examples of how you can use technology in day-to-day teaching. Okay. And the whiteboards will become more common. Anyone seen one in the school? Yeah. Few people. They'll become much and much more common over the next few years. By the time you graduate, there's a good chance you'll have seen one. And certainly, by the time you're teaching, there's quite a good chance that you'll end up in a school that's got them. Maybe not your classroom, but maybe the one next door. And eventually, they will become as common as whiteboards, which we don't have in here. So not every classroom is going to have one, but they will become a much more common sight. Now, the disc that I've given you. On the disc is the software. This software, this program that lets you do all of this stuff, that lets you create a new page, lets you grab an auto shape, draw it, select it. Now, notice that I'm using the mouse. I'm not at the whiteboard right now. I can... Ew, that's horrible. Let's use something a little bit shocking. Yellow with, I don't know what, red. There we go. We'll make it black lit. Okay, now, this I'm doing using the mouse. I could do it using the whiteboard. Could select it, change the colours and drive it from the whiteboard. Doesn't matter. The whiteboard is just a mouse. It's just a big mouse. Okay. The software to do all of that's on this CD. Okay, let me very briefly. I bother saving all that. Saving that. Anyway, on the CD, when you put the CD in the computer, this is what should happen. Should auto start. It should come up with a little, relatively. Let me. Come on. It's not the fastest laptop, this one. Here we go. Let's autoplay it, see what happens. When you put the CD in, it should start up Explorer or whatever your browser is. And it will load up a menu. Okay? Here it comes. Now, most of you, some of them missed out for some reason, have got a PDF version of these lecture notes. They've also got the XPK version, which is the native software that this program uses. The program is this thing here. Now I'm in trouble. That one. Bit hard to read. Smartboard Software 91 XE. That software is this software I just used then. You can install it on your home computer and use it. Okay? Because Monash, any institution that has one of these whiteboards anywhere, all of the staff and all of the students are entitled to use the software. That's the way the license works. Okay? So, it's also got some other stuff. It's got some promotional videos. It's got all sorts of things that you can have a look at. Okay? So, have a look at the CD. It took me about 2 hours. I commandeered a computer lab and I had 20 computers burning CDs and I was massive CD burning machine I was yesterday. 150 of them. And so use them, look at it, explore it, find out what's there. There's this thing here, I meant to be passing that round. We don't have time now. Sorry, I was going to pass it around. It's a little robotic toy that I play with as well. These are programmable. The type of programming it uses looks like this, this thing here. Don't know what happens if I click on it. Gets bigger, good. Okay. It's an iconic programming environment. This is the sort of technology that's in schools now. You can buy this stuff from Dick Smith. Okay. All right. So there's examples. And one last thing. What the heck are fractals? In the next minus 1 minute, because I'm out of time, I'm going to try and change your view of infinity. It's a little bit slow and clunky. I thought it'd be a bit faster than this. Sorry. It's a fractal. It's zooming. Should have been a bit more fluid. I need a faster computer. Or make the screen a bit smaller. Can't really get a good compromise there. Okay. That didn't work particularly brilliantly. Let me see. Now, this program that I'm just installing now, hopefully, is on the CD as well. It's called XAOS. It's in the fractals folder. I'm going to unzip it to... Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Unzip it into a folder that makes... Give the folder a name that you'll recognise, because it puts 192 files in it. Let's see if that worked. Okay, I'm running out of time. I really should stop. But have a look at fractals. Find out what they are. They're interesting things. Here we go. Oh, come back. And it's really struggling. Okay. One of the things I was saying today is that you really should finish on time. So I'm going to leave it at that. Thank you for coming today. Have a look at the CD. Have a play. Thank you.
And I just, on everyone's behalf, really like to thank Rupert for, first of all, for entertaining us, but also for sort of inspiring us. And finally, the thing I think for most of us is the challenge of how we're going to be working in these sorts of environments where the students and the schools in which we're working are using these tools for learning, part of learning. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
There's no processor in the board at all.
Yeah.
Is that correct? It's just an external monitor.
Yeah. The board has some processing power, but only enough to send at mouse coordinates.
Yeah.